Blog Talk.
Welcome once again to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Keith Henry, ND. Thank you for tuning in for today's show. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. We're glad to have you as our special guest, and we thank you once again for tuning in to Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and it's glad to have you with us again here on Blue Zone Wellness. As you just heard, I'm your host, Keith Henry. And before we get started this evening, we'd just like to pause and ask that you would remember those who have suffered such great tragedy in Japan, and that we all should be lifting them and their families in prayer and helping them in any way that we can. Now, we thank you for joining us once again, and here on Sunday, on this Sunday evening, we've decided to start, I guess you could call it a discussion, in the current events that have happened over the last week in dealing with alternative medicine and health in general. We've decided to start doing this on Sunday evenings and also on Wednesday evenings. Not, however, dealing with something different on Wednesday evenings. On Wednesday evenings, we're looking at dealing with a particular disease or a particular herb or a particular procedure, an alternative procedure that is designed to help the body, the mind, the physical, mental, and the spiritual, and without having to result to drug medication. Now, we're looking at doing this on Wednesday evenings. And on Sunday evenings, I just want to have a discussion with my listeners and kind of discuss and analyze the things that have come out over the past week in our society with regard to our natural health. Now, again, if you're just tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, I welcome you. And I would like to remind you that if you have friends or family members that are interested and natural remedies and natural health, that you give them this link, direct them here to listen to the shows that have been in the past as well as those that we're planning for the future. Now, also, if you would pass it around to on the social networks, this is very valuable information, and in fact, in many cases, it's worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, tonight I'd just like to discuss kind of informally with my listeners some of the many stories that have come out this week, and of course I would not have the time to go into all of them. So tonight we'll look at maybe four stories that came out, studies, stories dealing with articles, etc., dealing with some natural health news, things that may be of interest to you and your family. And we'll look at one dealing with how you can eat spinach and how eating spinach helps cell performance. It also helps grow bigger muscles. We'll look at the controversy surrounding studies that link autism to mercury. We also look at how exercise benefits or actually helps regrow brain cells. And we also look at an interesting article by Dr. McCullough that he published this week dealing with the danger of drugs for depression. And so let's go ahead and get started. We'll start off with the first article that was taken from Natural News. And it talks about how exercise benefits or actually regrows brain cells. And the article actually says, quote, "For many years, the medical community denied the possibility that adult brain cells could regrow. But researchers now know that neurogenesis, the process of brain cell regeneration, does occur, and it plays a very important role in mitigating stress and improving sexual and reproductive function. But it all hinges on getting plenty of regular exercise." Now, if you listen to our last broadcast, and that's end quote, if you listen to our last broadcast where I was interviewing Dr. Orrett Morgan, you know that we went through what we call the laws of health. These are laws of principles. They are the backbone of any health and wellness program. And one of those laws or principles was regular exercise. We talked about sunshine, trust in the Creator, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. And as we talked about these principles, we talked quite a bit about and elaborated on exercise. And now here we have this article mentioning that it is being found now that the ability of the brain to actually grow additional brain cells or reproduce additional brain cells hinges on getting plenty of regular exercise. Now the article continues citing a study that was reported in the journal Cell Transplantation, and they were referring to a study which came out of Hong Kong. And one of the doctors of this study, the lead doctor of this study, went on to talk about how research has shown that exercise can improve mood and cognition, and has also demonstrated that a deficit in adult neurogenesis may result in depressive disorders. So simply put, that means that a lack of exercise or any other thing that can affect the mind or the brain can result in disorders or depression or stress. And typically you will find that in long-term stress in many people ends in some form of depression or the other. The article went on to point out that stress has a severe negative effect on the hippocampus, also known as the neurogenic zone of the brain. And the more serious forms of stress, including depression and post-traumatic brain injury, can actually cause the hippocampus to shrink. But the team observed that exercise effectively helps to both improve the plasticity of the hippocampus and spur the growth of new neurons, which ultimately can reverse cell damage. Now, this is a very interesting study coming out of Hong Kong, where we're finding out that something as simple as exercise done regularly has the ability to actually lift stress, thereby lessening the likelihood of depression. And all, not only that, as we talked about before, it also benefits the body in other ways. But up until this point, science has not realized or at least acknowledged the effect that exercise can have on the mind. Now, in natural medicine, we have long argued that you must take a full body approach to any disease or any abnormality, and that includes the physical, the mental, and the spiritual or emotional. And so when we look at exercise and we look at this study, this is not the only study. It's just the most recent one that deals with exercise. For instance, let's discuss some of the other things that other studies have shown that exercise can do. Exercise can improve the tone of your muscles and your blood vessels, hereby changing them from weak and flabby tissue to strong and firm tissue. This can often lead in a reduction of blood pressure. Something else it can do is exercise will increase the efficiency of your heart in several ways. And as a result of this, your heart will grow stronger and pump more blood with each stroke, hereby reducing the number of strokes needed to supply your body with life-giving blood. Also, let's look at something else. It improves your digestion, for instance. And it improves your digestion by quickening the circulation and helping to lift the blood back to the heart from the digestive organs, and thus normalizing your bowel action. Now let's go over to the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia put together by Dr. Archibald, M.D., Harold M. Schoen, M.D., and researcher Vance Farrell. And in here, they also list some additional benefits of exercise. They go on to say that exercise will increase the efficiency of your lungs, conditioning them to process more air with less effort. It will increase your maximum oxygen consumption by increasing the amount available and the efficiency of its delivery to body cells. Six, it will improve overall condition of your body, especially the most vital parts, the lung, heart, blood vessels, and endocrine system. This will impart added protection against sickness. They go on to say it can change your whole outlook on life, enabling you to relax, work more efficiently, and handle stress better. That is when it's not overdone. It imparts a cheerful quality to the mind. So here you see some of the things. We see some of the things that exercise can do. Some people have actually reduced their blood pressure to the point where they no longer have to take their blood pressure medication simply by involving themselves in regular or systematic exercise. Now, to go back to the article that we were referring to that talked about the benefit of exercise on the brain and the possibility of actually being able to regrow brain cells, which is very, very interesting. The article went on to say, quote, "These reviews show that the process of neurogenesis has far-reaching implications, including a beneficial exercise-induced response to stress and some degree of involvement with sexual behavior and reproduction." And they were quoting Professor Shenzong Lin from the China University Medical Hospital. He goes on to say, "The studies reinforce the importance of a naturally occurring process that until recently was believed to be impossible." End quote. And the impossibility talked about here is the ability of the brain to regrow brain cells. Absolutely amazing. Now, if you are listening in and you want to call in and ask a question, or you want to call in and make a comment, the guest call-in number is 1-917-889-2207. That's 1-917-889-2207. Now, let's move on to another article that I would like to discuss with you this evening. And that article was an article written by Dr. Joseph Mercola. He's a well-known doctor in the medical, in the natural medicine community. And he published an article just the other day with respect to depression. And he goes into this, and it's a very detailed article, so we're going to spend a little time on this article, just talking about and analyzing some of the things that he brought out in this article with regard to depression and the medications that are being given to those people who have been diagnosed with depression. Now, we just finished talking about the benefit of exercise upon the brain. And he goes on to say, Dr. Mercola goes on to say, he starts off in this particular article by saying, quote, "Every year, 230 million prescriptions for antidepressants are filled, making them one of the most prescribed drugs in the United States. The psychiatric industry itself is a $330 billion industry." He goes on to say that despite all of these prescriptions, more than 1 in 20 Americans are depressed, according to the most recent statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Of those depressed Americans, 80% say they have some level of functional impairment, and 27% say their condition makes it extremely difficult to do everyday tasks like work, activities of daily living, and getting along with others. Now, let's end quote. Now, let's pause here and stop for a minute. First, we find out from this article that every year, 230 million prescriptions for antidepressants are filled. And yet, 80% of those considered depressed Americans say they have some level of functional impairment, and 27% say their condition makes it extremely difficult to do everyday tasks like work, activities of daily living, and getting along with others. Now, let's keep that, think about that for a second as we proceed. He goes on to say in this article, the use of antidepressant drugs doubled in just one decade from 13.3 million in 1996 to 27 million in 2005. And then he asked a significant and serious question. If these drugs are so extensively prescribed, then why are so many people feeling so low? If these drugs are so extensively prescribed, then why are so many people feeling so low? And the answer is quite simple. They don't work for depression. Not only that, he goes on to say that unfortunately research has confirmed that antidepressant drugs are no more effective than sugar pills. Some studies have even found that sugar pills may produce even better results than antidepressants, end quote. Now, this is an amazing article, and he points out that if 80% of those considered depressed have some level of functional impairment, and 27% say their condition makes it extremely difficult to do everyday tasks. That is quite a high number. How is it that if 80% of these people are depressed and they're taking drugs and they're specifically apparently they're not working? So why don't we change and do something different than what we're doing with regard to these drug medications and depression? Now, Dr. Mercola goes on to say, quote, many people forget that antidepressants come with a slew of side effects, some of which are deadly. Approximately 750,000 people attempt suicide each year in the United States, and about 3,000 of those succeed. Taking a drug that is unlikely to relieve your symptoms and may actually increase your risk of killing yourself certainly does not seem like a good choice, end quote. 750,000 people, that's almost a million people a year, attempt suicide in the United States of America. And of that number, he points out that 30,000 of them actually succeed. And also, there are studies that indicate or that tend to show that these drugs may actually contribute to the mental atmosphere that would tend to lead one to commit suicide. He goes on to say in this article that about two-thirds of people with depression actually go undiagnosed. And he points out that untreated depression is actually the number one cause of suicide, which is a sad testament to the clinical astuteness of most physicians. Now, as the article goes on, Dr. Mercola points out some of the things to look for, or he puts it when to worry when we're looking at when there may be signs of someone, or we may think someone may be showing signs of suicide. And he points out some of the following things. If the person has acquired a weapon recently, he calls these are some of the red flags. If they're hoarding medication, if they have no plan for the future, if they begin to put affairs in order, making or changing a will, giving away personal belongings, if they begin mending grievances that have occurred from past issues, if they begin checking on insurance policies and withdrawing from people, and they point out that any one or a number of these things, especially if there are more than one that are present, could likely be red flags. He also points out in this article that your suicide risk is higher if you have recently experienced any of the following extremely stressful life situations. And he points out, although that this is not a comprehensive list. Number one, he says loss of a significant relationship or death of a loved one significantly increases your risk of deciding to commit suicide. Again, number one, that's a loss of a significant relationship or death of a loved one. Number two, diagnosis of a terminal illness. Diagnosis of a terminal illness. Number three, loss of financial security or livelihood. Loss of financial security or livelihood. The next one, loss of home or employment. Loss of home or employment. Finally, abuse, rape, or other serious emotional trauma. Now, let me pause here again to relate back to one of the things that myself and Dr. Orrit Morgan spoke about about a month ago on this show when we were talking about the laws of health. And if you haven't heard that discussion, just go back into the archives at Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio and click on that particular archive. I think it's entitled How to Reduce Healthy Lifestyle Healthcare Costs with Healthy Lifestyle. And you can hear us talking about these laws, these principles of health. And these principles of health, again, they are the backbone for prevention as well as healing of practically any disease that you may encounter. And as we're talking about suicide and antidepressants here, one of the things that we talked about was trust in the Creator, trust in God. And also when we look at the materialism that we have here, and as I pointed out, some of the things that Dr. Mercola has pointed out that actually significantly increases the likelihood that one may choose to take their own lives, you'll notice that many of those things were things tied directly to material success or things that are related directly to things in our everyday lives. For instance, the first one, again, was loss of a significant relationship or death of a loved one. Here's a case where we have to realize that we are going to, in this life, going to have hard times. We're going to have breakups. We're going to have significant issues that occur in our lives that cause pain, like relationship, divorces, things of that nature, or deaths of loved ones. And if we're unprepared emotionally to deal with these things, it puts our mind in such a state that is almost unbearable, and we will tend to do anything to escape the pain. And so this is one of the reasons why we in natural medicine talk quite a bit about the emotional. In fact, as I said before, it is my belief that 9/10, that's 90%, of all diseases or abnormalities have their origin in the mind. And grief, fear, anxiety, distrust, all of these things tend to break down the life forces and set the body and the system up for disease. And so this is why it's so very important that the mind be dealt with first. And hereby we come up with the principle of trust in the Creator. Because when you're trusting in the Creator, when you're trusting in God, you begin to trust in a power that's outside of yourself. And when you do that, then you begin to understand that you don't have to deal with these tragedies that are going to come in life. You don't have to deal with them alone. Not only that, you have a supernatural power, as we believe, that helps you to deal with these tragedies that are going to come in life. Again, you'll see one of the things on the list that greatly increase the likelihood of a person going into a suicidal state of mind is loss of financial security or livelihood. Here we have another incident where we see a person may have wrapped their self-worth up with their financial stability. And when they lose financial stability, then they see no reason to live. Again, there's a connection between that which is material and apparently those things which are material have been placed higher than life itself, and the human has been devalued there. And here you have a state of mind that results from this that can bring nothing but disaster if not corrected. Again, you have loss of home or employment. Again, it's a connection between the material These types of things greatly increase the likelihood of people committing suicide when they lose these things, because in many cases, their self-worth is connected to that which is material. And if that is the case, then there will always be material things. And if there's not a if there's lack of trust in the Creator, then we can begin to understand why people that undergo these things have a much higher likelihood of committing suicide. Now, as we continue to go through this article by Dr. McCullough, and just to talk about it and analyze it, if you would like to call in or if you have any questions or comments, we invite you to call in, the call-in number, or you can also send me a chat, is 917-889-2207. Again, that number is 917-889-2207. Okay, let's continue with some more information in this incredibly detailed article by Dr. McCullough. And he goes on to talk about how antidepressants, as I pointed out earlier, have been shown in some studies to be no more effective than a sugar pill, and yet they are one of the most frequently prescribed drugs in the United States of America. Now, he goes on to say, quote, every time a new study about the efficacy of antidepressants hits the journals, we see antidepressants plunge further into the abyss. A recent study in the January 2010 issue of JAMA, that's the Journal of the American Medical Association, concludes that there is little evidence that SSRIs, that is a popular group of antidepressants that includes Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and others, have any benefit to people with mild to moderate depression, and they work no better than a placebo. Interestingly enough, Dr. McCullough is citing a study that was published in JAMA, and they're actually admitting, or this study showed, that this group of antidepressants, namely Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and others, have practically no benefit whatsoever on mild to moderate depression. And not only that, they work no better than a placebo. And he goes on to say, Dr. McCullough goes on to say that means that SSRIs, or this class of antidepressants, are 33% effective as a placebo. And a study presented at the Neuroscience Congress in 2009 tells a similar story. Researchers from the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine shared two major findings. Now let's look at these two findings. Number one, they found that antidepressant drugs were not invented for depression. Researchers used certain drugs to manipulate the behavior of stressed animals and then concluded erroneously that the drugs would be good antidepressants. But chronic stress does not cause the same molecular changes that depression does, making the hypothesis incorrect. Dr. McCullough then adds, so antidepressants were actually designed to treat stress rather than depression, which is one reason why they are so ineffective. The second thing that was presented by the researchers was that an imbalance of neurotransmitters in your brain may not trigger depressive symptoms in the way that has long been believed. Instead of the biochemical events that led to depression, appear to start in the development and functioning of neurons. This means, he goes on to say, antidepressants focus on the effect of depression and completely miss the cause. Yet another reason why they are so ineffective for most people. So let's stop and talk about this for a second. First of all, we find out by these researchers that antidepressants were actually never meant or were not created to treat depression at all, but they were rather created to treat stress. Secondly, we find out that maybe the cause or the imbalance of neurotransmitters in the brain do not actually trigger depressive symptoms. And so here we go again. We have two major reasons given by these doctors that actually may be the two of the keys to why antidepressant drugs are little more effective, if at all, than a sugar pill or placebo. And yet, it is a $330 billion business. Amazing. Now, again, if you're interested in calling in or sending in any message via chat, feel free to do so. Again, the call-in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. And as we continue on with this article by Dr. McCullough, now we're going to go through here and then we're going to look at some of the things that you can do to kind of help depression. Now, he goes on to talk about, later on in his article, a list of what he calls the terrifying antidepressant drug side effects. And this is one of the things about any drug medication. Now, first let me state that there are some circumstances where drugs may be necessary, especially in incidences of trauma, and sometimes cases of emergency where for a short period of time where the body has sustained so much extreme abuse that it may be good for a very short time just to save a person's life. But in the great majority of cases, drug medication is simply not necessary. And in many cases, many cases, as the studies bear out, they do much more harm than they do good. And one of those cases is with antidepressant drugs. Continuing on in analyzing and reading this article from Dr. Mercola, he says this, quote, depression, or described another way, unrepaired emotional short-circuiting can cause far more profound negative health consequences than all the damaged food and toxins you expose yourself to daily. Now, let me pause and comment on this. Stress, which over time will lead or can lead to depression, does indeed cause an acidic system. And when I say acidic system, I mean that it causes the pH balance of the body to be thrown so far into confusion that it actually gives you a toxic internal environment. And this is similar to what Dr. Mercola is saying here in this article, where he says depression, or described another way, unrepaired emotional short-circuiting, can cause far more profound negative health consequences than all the damaged food and toxins you expose yourself to daily. Now, he goes on to say, he points out that psychiatric drugs kill 42,000 people every year. Now, think about this. Could you imagine if herbs were killing any one herb or any group of herbs or all herbs combined were killing 42,000 people on a yearly basis? Could you imagine the outcry in the medical journals and the new laws that would be created to ban or to remove from the market herbal supplements or vitamins or whatever the case may have been? And yet, psychiatric drugs alone, according to this article by Dr. Mercola, kill 42,000 people every year. He goes on to say that's 12,000 more people than successfully commit suicide due to depression. And the death count continues to rise, end quote. So let's stop and think about this for a second. Psychiatric drugs kill 42,000 people every year. And as he pointed out earlier in the article, although 750,000 people attempt suicide in America every year, about 30,000 of them are actually successful. But yet 42,000 people die every year from the psychiatric drugs. So if we just remove the psychiatric drugs off of the market, we would have a net increase of 12,000 people who would live as opposed to dying. Amazing. He goes on to say that antidepressants are the largest category of psychiatric drugs. But in addition to being ineffective, he says, they are far from harmless and are now associated with many serious health problems. Let's look at some of the health problems that these drugs are associated with, as he points out in this article. Number one, diabetes. He says your risk for type 2 diabetes is 2 to 3 times higher if you take antidepressants, according to one study, he says in this article. Dr. Mercola also points out the second thing is problems with your immune system. He says these SSRIs, remember the group of drugs that I mentioned earlier, including Paxil and some of the other ones, cause serotonin to remain in your nerve junctions longer, interfering with immune cell signaling and T cell growth. Suicidal thoughts and feelings and violent behavior is another thing that these drugs contribute to. He says your risk for suicide may be twice as high if you take these drugs. 7 out of 12 school shootings were by children who were either on antidepressants or withdrawing from them. Next, stillbirths. He points out in this article that a Canadian study of almost 5,000 mothers found that women on SSRIs were twice as likely to have a stillbirth, almost twice as likely to have a premature or low birth weight baby. And again, he says another study showed a 40% increased risk for birth defects such as cleft palate. Interesting. Another side effect he points out is brittle bones. He points out that one study showed women on antidepressants have a 30% higher risk of spinal fracture and a 20% higher risk for all other fractures. The next side effect, stroke, or increased risk for stroke. Your risk for stroke may be 45% higher if you are on antidepressants, possibly related to how the drugs affect blood clotting. Finally, he points out death. Overall death rates have been found to be 32% higher in women on antidepressants. Now, as you may know, if you become accustomed to watching the commercials that promote drugs, as you sit there and you listen to the drug commercials, and if they list the different side effects, sometimes the side effects they actually list are death. And sometimes it's for something that a person, although it may be uncomfortable, they can actually live with it. So it is amazing to me that we would be so consumed with this idea of so much drug medication. And we see that it's not working. We see that the healthcare costs have gone through the roof. We see that hundreds of thousands, at least over 100,000 people a year, about 200,000 people at least a year die from drug medications or side effects affected with the drug, and who knows how many other issues that occur that are connected or affiliated with these drugs. And yet, we don't seem to be doing anything to change the course of what I would call our madness, if you will. Now, Dr. Mercola goes on to say in this article that there are more reasons to avoid antidepressants, as if you need any more. And he says, quote, Professor of Medicine Leonard J. Davis wrote an excellent article about these SSRIs for the January 2010 issue of Psychology Today. He points out that physicians routinely prescribe not one, but two or three SSRIs and other psychopharmacological drugs in combination with really no studies to back them up. Physicians who engage in what is known as polypharmacy are hoping that if one didn't work, maybe two or three will. And then he goes on to quote Professor Leonard Davis saying, quote, doctors are in essence performing uncontrolled experiments on their patients, hoping that in some scattershot way they might hit on a solution. But of course, drugs have dangerous interactions, and most physicians are shooting in the dark with all the dangers that attend such bad marksmanship. End quote. And now, we're not going to go into a lot of the great details tonight, because tonight we're just analyzing the articles that we found. But we're going to, I just want to hit briefly on one or two things that can be done to help depression. And maybe this Wednesday night, or maybe in an upcoming broadcast, we will go into detail on how and what we can do from a natural perspective that actually works for depression. But just as a, because we're running short on time here, just as a quick, a couple of quick points here, we'll look at some of the things that we could actually do just now, starting today, that can help depression. First of all, you have to consider that there are things that are going to come in life, and there's no escape from them. And so you're going to have to learn to let go of that which you can't control. Again, this goes back to the principle that we talked about in trust in the Creator. Once you trust and believe that there is someone who loves and cares for you, and that someone can handle all of your problems, and you begin to learn to cooperate and understand that, look, you know, my worrying about something that I have no control over is not going to benefit me one way or the other. So if it's not going to benefit me one way or the other by worrying about it, what is the purpose of worrying? And this is, you have to do some emotional house cleaning, as Dr. McCullough may call it. You have to relax, sit back and say, you know what, I've done all I can do about the situation. And of course, as a Christian naturopath, I always suggest prayer, even fasting, just emotional cleansing and meditation upon, I like to suggest or recommend meditation upon the Psalms, biblical Psalms. These things tend to elevate our minds from the earthly and elevate our minds to that which is spiritual. And when your mind is elevated above the earthly to that which is spiritual, you begin to understand there are things that are much greater than the problems that you may be dealing with. And we'll go more into that maybe when we start talking about dealing with depression in general, in more detail, I'm sorry. Another thing that's very beneficial for depression is exercise, and this is one of the things that Dr. Mercola pointed out in his article as well. In fact, in his article, he wrote about depression, about exercise. Quote, regular exercise is one of the secret weapons to overcoming depression. It works by helping to normalize your insulin levels while boosting the feel-good hormones in your brain. He goes on to say, as Dr. James S. Gordon, M.D., a world-renowned expert in using mind-body medicine to heal depression, said, quote, what we're finding in the research on physical exercise is that exercise is at least as good as antidepressants for helping people who are depressed. Physical exercise changes the level of serotonin in your brain, and it increases your endorphin levels, your feel-good hormones. And also, And these are amazing studies. Exercise can increase the number of cells in your brain, in the region of the brain called the hippocampus. We talked about that earlier. These studies were first done on animals, and they're very important because sometimes in depression, there are fewer of those cells in the hippocampus. But you can actually change your brain with exercise. So it's got to be part of everybody's treatment, everybody's plan, end quote. You know, as myself and Dr. Morgan talked about in that interview, over and over and over, we try to impress upon those who come to see us the importance of the foundation. Sunshine, trust in the Creator, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. And again, as we said, these are not things that we've just dreamt up. These are things that we recommended and that we've seen actually work. And now you're seeing more and more science behind them. And so, again, as this world-renowned expert just pointed out, Dr. Gordon, that he's a world-renowned expert in treating depression with mind-body medicine. And as he's pointing out how it actually benefits the brain in depression. In fact, he pointed out that exercise has at least the same amount of effectiveness as antidepressants for helping people who are depressed. So, now how much does that cost? Maybe a little of your time. But it's far cheaper than drug medication, not only in terms of material wealth, but more so in terms of longevity of life. It could actually cut your life short. And how much is that worth? Now, because we're getting low on time here, we'd like to give you the call-in number again, or you can chat. Those who may want to contact us through chat, the number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, in the event that you are not listening to this broadcast live, but are simply listening to a rebroadcast, visit our show page at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness to see when our next show is. Again, we're starting to set up every Sunday and Wednesday evenings. And if you have, once you can go on and see what our upcoming shows are going to be about, if you would like to call in, make a comment, or ask a question, be prepared to do so. Again, if you're not listening to this broadcast live, but happen to be listening to an archive or a rebroadcast of it, either on a website or at Blog Talk Radio, go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. And see when our next show will be on and see what the topic will be. And if you're interested or if you know someone who may be interested, send them the link or you can link in and you can listen and call or you can chat with us as we deal with our next subjects. Now, we have about roughly 11 minutes left to go on our show this evening. Again, this is Keith Henry, ND. This is our first Sunday night broadcast, and it's just a time I just like to sit down and talk with my listeners on the past week's events on new health articles that have come out, either major or minor, things that you may or may not heard about, and just talk about them and give analysis, give my perspective on them, and hear your perspective if you have one or if you have one that you would like to articulate, and just talk about how these things apply to natural health, natural healing, because there's so much information that comes out every week that we just decided to start doing this on a Sunday evening. We call it the Weekend Review in Natural Medicine, and we hope that it will catch on. And again, on Wednesday evenings, we're just picking a particular health issue and talking about how to deal with that health issue from the perspective of natural medicine. Now, in closing, let's look at we'll look at this article on on the benefits of spinach. This was published. It was at Natural News. It's called Eat Spinach for Bigger Muscles, Better Cell Performance. And the article says, quote, Popeye was right. Eating spinach really does help build muscle strength and improve cellular function, according to a new study released by the Swedish medical school, Karolinska Institute. A follow-up to a similar study released by the school back in the 1990s. Researchers again observed that the natural nitrates found in spinach and other leafy greens feed muscular mitochondria and thus help regulate blood pressure, immune defense, and cell metabolism. Inorganic nitrates, which are different than the synthetic nitrates commonly added to processed foods, are used by the body to produce nitric oxide, a vital molecular component that delivers oxygen to blood and performs a variety of other physiological and pathological processes in the body. Nitric oxide is a powerful anti-inflammatory, antithrombotic, and vasodilation agent, all of which result in numerous health benefits, end quote. Let's stop there for a moment. Again, you've heard, if you listen to that interview, one of the things that we talk consistently about is a plant-based diet. A plant-based diet has many, many, many benefits, known and unknown. And the benefits that science has been able to confirm, as in this article on spinach and other leafy green vegetables, can do many, many things to help render diseases and other abnormalities ineffective or non-existent in the body, if a healthy, an overall healthy lifestyle is combined with good nutrition, eating this plant-based diet. Now, as this study showed, these leafy greens feed muscular mitochondria, thereby increasing strength and better performance, giving you potentially bigger muscles. They help regulate blood pressure. That's the benefit of if you're a person that's suffering from hypertension, immune defense, that's your immune system, and cell metabolism. Now, this is amazing when we think about it. Also, we find that nitric oxide is a powerful anti-inflammatory in many diseases. One of the most difficult and dangerous things to deal with is inflammation. And it goes in the article, went on to talk about many other things. And again, this article was found at Natural News. And they went on to talk about many other things that spinach and other leafy green vegetables do in the body. Finally, the article went on to say, quote, besides improving muscle growth and cellular health, the nitric oxide producing substances in spinach also help treat diseases like diabetes and heart disease, which are a product of mitochondrial dysfunction. Since nitric oxide helps reduce blood pressure, it is capable of warding off diabetes in pre-diabetic individuals, as well as reducing strain on the heart, which can lead to heart attack or stroke. Thus, again, we see some of the amazing benefits of a plant-based diet overall. And this is really just the tip of the iceberg when we talk about the benefits of this plant-based diet. Now, we'll look at one final article that I would like to look at briefly. And again, you know, I simply did not have enough time to cover all of the articles that I read or that I would have liked to have discussed. And it wasn't meant to be an exhaustive conversation. It was just meant to look at a couple of articles that I thought may benefit my listeners, and kind of give some comment and analysis on them. The last article I'd like to look at, we have about 5 minutes left in our Sunday evening talk or chat, if you will. Studies that link autism to mercury. And this has been a big debate, with one side saying autism is linked to mercury, the other side saying no. But this is another article from naturalnews.com. And it starts off by saying, quote, despite recommendations made by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, in 1999, that thermosil, a mercury-based preservative, be removed from vaccines. The toxic chemical is still added to the majority of flu vaccines administered to women, children, and the elderly, according to the Coalition for Mercury-Free Drugs, a Maryland-based nonprofit organization. And according to three recent studies, the symptoms of mercury poisoning are nearly identical to those of autism symptoms, which strongly suggests that mercury in vaccines is responsible for causing autism. End quote. And, you know, when we read this article, this entire article, it's very, very compelling that there is a direct, it's very, very compelling in making the connection or making the argument that there is indeed a direct connection between mercury and autism. The article went on to say, quote, mercury is already a known neurotoxin that causes cancer, a carcinogen, damages DNA, a mutagen, alters proper embryonic development, and disrupts the immune system. It is exactly the type of harmful chemical that you would never want to put in your body, and yet it is still added in the form of thermosol to millions of flu vaccines administered to the public. Then the article quotes Dr. Paul G. King, Ph.D., and he says, quote, we have scientific studies clearly demonstrating that mercury causes neurological damage, and we have a cost-effective alternate that has already been used to replace thermosil as the preservative in vaccines. So the only question that's left is that if we know that these things, that mercury is a toxin to the body, and it's basically the nervous system, and we have alternatives, and I'm not a proponent of vaccines, even though mercury is one of the things that are negative, have negative consequences to the body, there are typically other things in vaccines. But for purposes of discussion, if you're going to take vaccine and you know that there are alternatives that are less dangerous than any chemical with mercury as its basis, and you know that mercury does damage to the nervous system, why would you not use the alternative? Makes no sense to me. We're down to about 2 minutes. We thank you for, again, joining us this evening. I thank you for joining me this evening. And what we hope will be our Sunday evening chats with regard to the week in on natural medicine, a weekend review of natural medicine, alternative therapies, you know, basically looking at articles that have come out this week, and just analyzing them, talking, commenting on them. Again, I invite you to be back with me Wednesday night when we'll be discussing some health topic that I'm sure you'll be interested in. And next Sunday, we plan to be going through more articles, discussing and analyzing them. Again, this is Keith Henry, ND, at Blue Zone Wellness. Again, if you have friends or family members who you know would be interested in our natural remedies, have them tune in to the show. Send it to your friends on Facebook or wherever, and you yourself call in if you want your question answered, if you just want to comment, and we will be sure to do our best to answer your questions, because we really believe that in order for our country to survive from a perspective of the economy, one of the main things that we have to do is we have to change our mentalities with regard to health and wellness. Thank you for joining us. I'm Keith Henry, ND. I'll see you next time.